Jim Taylor on the WMJ Sportsline on this Saturday morning. Good to have you along. And we're going to celebrate the Mercer County Scholastic Bowl program. They got a good thing going. Their head coach is Kyle Caresco, and Mercer County back-to-back Lincoln Trail Conference Scholastic Bowl champs. The IHSA has a state tournament series in Scholastic Bowl. That starts Monday with the regional. And I guess, Kyle Caresco, the first question is, are the Golden Eagles ready for the postseason run?
We're ready. We're ready. We've been playing very well recently. As you mentioned, we just won the conference tournament for the second year in a row. So we've got some good momentum on our side going into it. So.
Well, you started coaching Scholastic Bowl how long ago?
I started coaching the junior high team. This is my 19th year. So I started them in the 2001 season in the spring. And then I was named high school coach the following fall. So this is my 18th year doing the high school team.
Now, did you play?
I did not play Scholastic Bowl when I was in high school. That was...
You should have.
I should have, but there was like a stigma associated with it, and they were like, oh, those are nerds. I don't want to be a part of that. And then as I got older, I realized, oh, I am a nerd. So, you know, it just makes sense.
And there's some great pride you can say with that, and that's because the one thing I got to thinking about, somebody's going to make T-shirts because we won back-to-back conference champs. Because we need those for those kids, in my opinion. All right, so... I mean, you really have had a good run doing this. So what do you think I know you're not going to probably pat yourself on the back, but you have to be part of the equation of why this program is successful. Why has it worked? Not only, I think, we talk about quality, right, but you have quantity, too, with a lot of kids that seem to participate, and I think that's a good sign for the program.
I think one of the keys actually has been that the kids get to know me when they're in junior high, because that's where I teach. I teach down in Joy. And they like being in my class and like me around. And then they'll say, oh, we'll give the Scholastic Bowl thing a shot. And if they try it, they like it. And that lends to the longevity. I'll have kids that, you know, have been in for 6 years, all 6 years that they can be in Scholastic Bowl. But they have to really want to do it. That's not me. That is them. We practice early in the mornings. We have an incredibly long season for both junior high and high school. And it is very time consuming, and that you really have to enjoy doing it. And in order to be successful, you've got to put in time outside of Scholastic Bowl. And I cannot give enough credit to my kids in that regard. They are the ones who want to get better. And I put that onus on them. I'm not going to be a coach who assigns them homework. Some coaches do that. You need to go home. You need to learn this. These kids are busy enough as it is. They're in multiple activities. They've got jobs. I'm not going to do that. But I say, if you want to get better, recognize your weaknesses, put in the work to get better. And especially in the last few years, they've been creating their own study guides. They've been having team study sessions outside of the season. They're putting in the work. And there is not a meet I go to now that I am not absolutely amazed by what those kids have learned, because they sure haven't gotten it from me.
Wow, that's awesome, man. And you said the roster has 21 kids this year somewhere?
High school team has 21 kids this year.
That's a good number.
It is a good number. And it's a good number to work with. It allows playing time for everybody. It allows for, if a kid is gone because they got a job or a college trip or something like that, there's always extra players. If you have a smaller squad, you know, you can get into that pinch, and then it can be kind of hard on everybody. But to have 21 kids at the high school, and this year I've got 16 kids at the junior high, those are great numbers. Those are wonderful numbers to work with.
All right, so to back up for those people, and you can go, I was talking to Kira Anderson on our high school sports spotlight program earlier this week, a senior member of your team, and you can go attend one of these meets if you want to watch to see how it works. You know, when we talk about, like, I always hear people when they feel that there are certain sport is getting shortchanged or nobody goes to these things, a lot of my retort is always, well, are you going to go to the Scholastic Bowl meet tomorrow? Have you been to one of those? Probably not. And no. You should go see one. I know I had the opportunity to go to a practice a couple years ago. I was like, and then I got one of the questions, right? One of the bonus questions. I couldn't, kids couldn't believe it. But anyway, I think it's a good start here. I think most people know kind of a little bit about Quiz Bowl stuff. They used to call it that, now Scholastic Bowl. So it's five. So, like, if Mercer County's playing Stark County, right? Mm-hmm. So it's you have five people at the table, they have five people at the table, right? Okay.
Right.
So then there is a bonus question, or how does a toss-up question? Excuse
they,
me.
The moderator or judge will ask a toss-up question, which is open to any student on either team, but it's an individual effort. You are not allowed to consult with your teammates. You buzz in. If you get it right, you get the points, and then you get control of what are called the bonus questions. If you get it wrong, then one person on the other team is allowed a chance to buzz in, and if they get it right, then their team gets the points and control the bonus. Once you get to the bonus, then the moderator will ask you generally three more questions is what the rules have changed to now. It used to be four or five.
So the bonus questions are three. Okay, so the toss-up equals how many points?
Toss-ups are 10 points, and bonuses are all worth 10 points too. They've changed the scoring and all the things in the recent years. They're constantly tweaking the rules and stuff like that.
IHSA doing that?
IHSA does it. But there's like a national Scholastic Bowl tournament and stuff like that, and it's called NAQT, and more high schools are starting to go towards that format and change things up. In my personal opinion, I don't like it as much because it emphasizes the individual more than a team. And that's something we emphasize here. We want the entire team involved, every kid. And with the current style where, the toss-up can be answered by the individual, and that's the way it's always been. But then the bonuses used to be you'd have the moderator would read four or five questions, and the team would have 30 seconds to come up with the answers, and then they would give their answers. Now they do three-part bonuses. Each question is done one at a time. Anybody, there's 5 to 10 seconds for...
And anybody on the team can answer.
Anybody on the team can answer. And so if you have that one special kid...
So he's scoring all the points.
He's scoring all the points where everybody else just sits around.
But then you have to rotate the toss-up kids then or not? Can it be...
No, you can play the same kids
for the
entire
toss-up
match.
Question?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have to rotate the kid on the toss-up question?
No. Everybody...
So it's everybody's... It's just a free grab whoever buzzes in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then, the bonus questions then... Does it default if you miss one? Does it go over to the other team?
Yeah, that's the way it is now. So the moderator will read the first bonus question. Your team has control. You get like 10 seconds at some tournaments. Some tournaments you only get five. You get it right, then the moderator reads the next bonus question to you. But if you get it wrong, it instantly rebounds to the other team, and they have like 3 seconds to give their answer. And if they get it right, they get the points. If it's wrong, it's over and done with. They go to question number two.
All right, and then so normally the score final scores are what in Scholastic?
Well,
everything's worth 10 points.
Everything's worth 10 points. So if every toss up's answered correctly, then there's 30 points possible on a bonus. So you're looking at 40 points there, and a match is 20 questions long. So I mean, there is a possibility of
20 toss up questions.
Yeah, okay. I mean, there's 800 points out there that can be answered, and a typical score, we'll see one team will probably have upper 200s, maybe up around 300, and then the other team will be in the upper 100s, maybe up around 200.
Well, I've seen you guys been scoring 300s this year.
Yeah.
A team, man.
And there are some teams, we've played a Springfield High School each of the last few years at Macomb, and 3 years ago they put 600 up on us. And then the next year they put up about 500, and then this year they only beat us by like 350. So I think we're making progress. We're getting better.
Ain't no mercy rule in Scholastic Bowl.
No, there is no
people.
Mercy rule in Scholastic Bowl. Unless you call off the dog, there is no mercy rule.
So you kind of gave the synopsis of if you wanted to have one kid say, here's the ball, Jimmy or Jenny, you go win it for us. But your philosophy is no, we're going to have... We want most of our kids to contribute to the team, and maybe that's why the numbers are so good, too.
It might be. And something I emphasize with my team, and I emphasize it from day one with the junior high, is we support each other. If someone gets something wrong, you don't get after them. You build them back up. Because if they're down, then they're going to hinder the team's progress. We are a family. That's something I emphasize. We are going to support each other, and we're going to work to get better together. And they've really... taken that upon themselves to the point now even where I've got high school kids who will come down to the junior high during practices, getting up, really early in the morning to come down to the junior high and work with those kids. This is what you need to be doing. This is what's going to work for you. And then that kind of carries it on to the when they get up to the high school levels. So I've been very pleased with that aspect of it. They really – they really buy into the whole team concept.
All right, so when you look over this program here we have, you have to be surprised at some of the questions that have been answered over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, give me a couple of, like, wow, we got, where you have to be proud, and then, like, the coach of the other team or the other school said, how did your kid know that?
Yeah.
And is there anything that stands out?
There's sometimes, I mean, I'm sure my kids, I mean, and there's been matches where they've just answered so many that I'm almost embarrassed, you know, that, because they're just blowing the other team out, and I feel bad about that to a certain extent.
So you don't give no fist pumps is what you're saying?
No. And if they start to get a little carried away, I'll just, like, you know, calm down here a little bit.
Wait a minute. How does one get carried away in Scholastic?
Well, I'll tell you, there was a Scholastic Bowl match we did several...
It's like, in your face! No.
Several years ago, we had Galesburg hosted, in February every year, a community group hosted the Black History Tournament during Martin Luther King holiday. And... we went down there and we won that tournament 6 years in a row. They started calling us the New York Yankees of Scholastic Bowl. And we had a match. And Macomb.
Wait a minute, people. If there's got to be somebody listening this morning, I want a t-shirt made right now that says Mercer County High School Scholastic Bowl. The New York Yankees of Scholastic Bowl. I want that shirt. And so does Kyle.
Anyways, we were down there, and we've played Macomb numerous times over the years. And Macomb, it seems like every year, makes it to state. They are just a quality program from beginning to end. And the Black History Tournament was built on, they gave you the study materials, and you could prepare. The questions were all going to come from the study materials. And I opened it up to my kids. I said, any kid who puts in the work will go to this meet. So I'm starting oftentimes three freshmen and two sophomores over varsity members because they did the work. And we played Macomb, I think the second year of that tournament that we went. And we beat them 389-0. We shut them out. And one of my kids, as soon as we got the last question and got answered, just stood up and raised his arms in the air and started screaming. I was like, sit down. What are you doing? Because it really showed up the other team. I mean, they felt bad enough as it was, and then you're doing this celebration like that.
We won't ask you who the kid was anyway.
No.
But a shutout in Scholastic Bowl?
It happens every now and again. We've even been shut out. There was a case a few years ago where the questions we used in our Thursday night triangulars with the Lincoln Trail Conference, the questions that year were so insanely difficult. We lost a match 10-0. There was only one question answered correctly the entire match, and... We didn't get it.
How long does a match usually run?
Time-wise?
Yeah.
If it's a 20-question match, usually they run about 40 to 45 minutes.
And one question?
One question was answered correctly in that entire match. So
Were the questions from, like, the Harvard Law School or what?
I tell you what, I don't know. That was the only year we used that company. After that, all his coaches got together and said, nope, never again.
So that's the other thing. When you're talking about the grand scheme of Scholastic Bowl, the logistics of how it, like, works then with the questions, where they come from, and how does that work in terms of organizing all that from the different schools? And, like, especially when you go to these IHSA competitions, does it come from them, or how does that work?
Yeah, at least for the state competition, it does. They IHSA provides the questions on that kind of stuff.
Now, is it, like, uniform then across the state for the Scholastic Bowl? Like, if you're – so you're – where your regional's at for the different rounds – basically, all the schools at the other regional venues get those type of questions?
They will have the exact same questions.
Okay.
So whatever we play in round one, all the round ones across the state will be using that same round, which leads to an interesting situation. We got an email yesterday from the IHSA. All matches on Monday must take place. There are no weather cancellations. If you can't play, it's a forfeit. You lose 1-0 because... they are doing the questions that night. They cannot take a chance on those questions.
Oh, I see.
Someone hearing them and then telling somebody else and giving them an advantage. So if you are not able to play on Monday night because of weather or whatever, and it's going to be cold across a good portion of the state on Monday, it's a forfeit. You have to play. So that can lead to some interesting situations there.
And that's the same that I would assume for, like, the sectional rounds? And
yeah, sectional will be the same thing, obviously, states, all the teams that are left and everything.
All right, like, so we got off the beaten track like we do here a lot. Where you've, because I've been down to, like, the practices a few times and some of the different questions that I've been asking, I'm like, man, they got no way somebody from, we ain't going to be able to answer that question. Well, then kid pops up and answers the question. You're like, what? Wait, what? So over the years for you, I mean, come on, there's got to be some where you're like, there's no way we should answer that question. And we did. And you're like, yeah, take that, whoever we're playing.
You know,
and then the coach from the other team looks at you and say, come on, Fresco, what's
there
going
was
on?
A question last year, and then it just shocked me, absolutely shocked me. And, you know, our Scholastic Bowl questions come from all categories. Obviously, most of them are going to be English, science, social studies, math, and then you got the arts, stuff like that. They throw in some oddball ones every now and again, too, but it was a music bonus down last year at the regionals, and it was in the championship match against Eureka. And the bonus was about minimalist composers. And since they start Scholastic Bowl, I tell them, listen, if the question's about minimalist composers, the answer is going to be Philip Glass. It's the only one they ever ask you about. They said, just remember Philip Glass. If you hear the word minimalist, the answer is going to be Philip Glass, and then you don't have to know anything else about it. And it was a bonus about minimalist composers, and I was like, oh, Lord, they aren't going to know it. They knew all of them, and none of them were Philip Glass. And
no, I just, kidding.
I'm looking just absolutely dumbfounded at him. My mouth is open, and the captain just looks over me and just gives me a wink and a smile, and I was like, how do you guys know this? It was unbelievable. I was in amazement.
So then the different categories, here's some Scholastic Bowl 2.0 for us. So what are the different categories? What do they come from in terms of the toss-up questions? Is there so many from each category, or is it just
Well, some tournaments, yeah. I mean, the state tournament, they say there are going to be this many English, there's going to be this many math, there's going to be this many science and this many social studies. But a lot of tournaments we go to now, they've really gone away from math at a lot of the tournaments, and it's kind of upsetting.
Answering something in 10 seconds, though, too.
That's part of it. It's quickening up, but you hardly have any computational math questions anymore, and it's. I know a lot of us coaches are not happy about it. As a matter of fact, in the Lincoln Trail Conference, we get our questions from a lady over by Orion, and we specifically say we want computational math. It's important for the kids to know this stuff, to be able to do this kind of stuff. But a lot of the terms we go to now, it seems to be more social studies, the fine arts, sciences, literature. That seems to be the main focus now. And then the questions are not evenly dispersed. You've got a whole bunch from social studies. You got a whole bunch from, the sciences and stuff like that. So I don't want to say it's become more specialized, but it doesn't seem like as much broad knowledge is needed as it once was, almost.
So they've gone away from math altogether at Scholastic Bowl?
It's going away from it. It's really going away from it. And I really honestly don't know why, other than it's just the timing issue or something. Because it used to be computational math would be about 20% of all questions. And you'd give them a question, they'd have 30 seconds to answer it. But that's rare anymore.
So computational math, what you're saying, is basically some type of math, like equation,
yeah,
problem.
Yeah, any type of math you would have to actually do figuring.
And it's the whole team that has a chance to solve
if it's a toss-up, obviously everybody, whoever can figure it out the fastest and, you know, buzz in, they get it. And if it's a bonus, they really don't have too many computational math questions on bonus anymore. And if they do, you got to have it within 10 seconds. And for some cases, it's just impossible.
All right, so this is another question here for you that I had to chuckle when you were saying this about, I think, the Lincoln Trail Conference tournament you just said, and you said, coming up with the questions, a lady by Orion.
Yeah, there is a...
So, yeah.
There's a former teacher over at Orion.
But when you said that, I want to describe what I'm thinking.
Oh, okay.
There's a lady by Orion that's in a secluded room, and she's got a pencil or a ballpoint pen out, and she's writing questions down that Scholastic Bowlers have to answer. So please, a little more elaboration on this lady by Orion. She comes up with the questions for the LTC tournament every year?
Yes, she's for the last,
and you do
ever
that,
since
and
we've
that,
consolidated.
And
yeah.
That's at Blackhawk East campus,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Blackhawk East hosts that each year. They use it as a recruitment tool, I suppose, get the kids to come to Blackhawk East, see what it's like, and get them a little positive press, I suppose, in the long run. But they do an awesome job with it, and it saves us coaches a whole lot of headaches because it used to be on a rotational basis like all other conference.
Well, because I can tell you this, it's, you know, the Scholastic Bowl has it figured out, because I hear the LTC, because LTC has, they have the conference tournament for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaches always complain about, because it's always at one location. Mm-hmm. So then the year it's at West Central, like I think it was the boys basketball at West Central this year, then basically all the coaches on the east side of the conference, because how the basketball tournament set up, it's like 4 or 5 nights.
Yeah.
So you're going from Princeville to Biggsville.
Yeah, or Anawan to Biggsville.
For 10 nights. And they've always talked about doing it at centralized location. And see, folks, Scholastic Bowl has figured it out. They have it at Blackhawk College East Campus.
Yep.
Seems pretty simple.
Yep, and they do a great job with it, too. So, I mean, it's not exactly centrally located, but it's
close enough.
Pretty darn close to it.
All right, so the lady by Orion again, back to her.
Anyways, she's been writing questions for years. When I was, she was a teacher at Orion for a long time, and then she was writing the questions for Orion tournaments. They would have a couple tournaments every year.
And she only does it for the LTC tournament out of the
season? Oh, I'm sure she has other customers as well, still. We've been to tournaments before where she provided the questions for them, too.
Is she there? Or she just gives a question?
No, I've asked her to moderate before, but it's like, you know what? She's retired. Let her enjoy her life, you know?
I wonder if there's ever a fist pump from her when she's like, yeah, the kids ain't gonna get this right.
So, but she writes our questions for us and makes sure I get them before we have to have them and everything. And it's, you know, it's good rate that all, I mean, especially when we split up the cost between all the schools and the conference and everything like that, it works out pretty well. So,
and then logistically, how the meets work, so there'd be a moderator, scorekeeper, what else?
Timekeeper.
Moderator.
Generally, you have three workers in each room: a moderator, a scorekeeper, and a timekeeper.
So the scorekeeper, then they decide. If there's like, I don't know if this question is right or wrong. I mean,
the moderator is the final judge. The scorekeeper is there to offer support if needed.
They can consult
with them or something like that, but they're just there to make sure the math adds up.
But so the moderator makes the final decision. So
they're the referee.
Yeah. So is there, do you have to be like a patched, or it's just basically volunteers do that?
I'm sure it depends.
I'm sure at the tournament series, through the state tournament series, it's more of a.
Because if you want to take part in the state series as a moderator or something like that, at sectionals or state, you have to kind of apply for it, and then you get, every time you moderate a match, you give a card to the coach, and they fill it out, and then it goes to the IHSA, and whoever gets graded the highest throughout the year gets sectional state assignments. But regionals, you still find your own moderators and everything like that.
This is really weird. Come on, you got to give me something good here, Coach Carrasco. So then, is there... Okay, so we know, like, you've been to basketball games, right? You know, you ain't calling traveling. You know, blow your whistle over the back, 3 seconds in the lane. We've had referees on here. They tell us the common things they say, you know, football, pass interference, why ain't you holding, false start, whatever. All right, so kind of the gray area then for Scholastic Bowl is some of these questions. I mean, is it easy enough to say – right or wrong on? I can't imagine it is for all of the questions.
No.
There ever been a situation? Come on, there's got to be something good where somebody's been really freaking mad about how the moderator interpreted the answer in saying, "Well, yes, the team got it right," or "the team got it wrong," and then like people are like, "No way, you're wrong on that." So give me something.
I've been that coach. It happens regularly.
Did you get a red card, or what is that called?
No, and you can get kicked out of a match, and that hasn't happened yet.
Has that happened?
That has not happened to me.
Have you seen any?
I have not seen a coach get kicked out.
You've heard about it, though?
I have heard about it, yeah. You know, some moderators are really, really good and very experienced. They know what they're doing. Others, it's their first time, and you got to just learn to be patient. You got to offer helpful advice. We had, as a matter of fact, at our,
I mean, it's a little more serious. I know how you probably operate the regular season is you can let that go a little bit, but if you're in the state tournament series, regional or sectional, and you run into that type of stuff and there's a little more on the line,
you might get a little more aggressive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, well, for instance, and the 7th grade championship match at the conference meet on Thursday night, the answer on the sheet was incorrect. The question had asked, what is the universal blood type, which is O negative, and the paper just said O. Rockridge buzzed in first and said, oh, positive, and moderator said, no, that's incorrect. And then my kid buzzed in and said, or it was on a bonus, I think, it said, oh, negative, and she goes, that's incorrect. And I said, excuse me? And she goes, it just says O here. And I go, well, I know O is the most common blood type, but I believe O negative is the universal blood type. And there happened to be a doctor in the room, too, and they said from the back, it is. She goes, well, it just says O. I said, well, tell you what, because it cost us 5 points. And I said, I'm going to protest that question. If it comes into play at the end of the match, I would like the opportunity to review it to find the answer and prove it, and then we can maybe get those 5 points back, but only if it matters in the final score. And the moderator said, that's fine. Well, as it came down to the end of the match, we lost by five. And so I said, we need to challenge that now. And we got it on there, got our cell phones out, and there was O negative is the universal blood type, so we got the 5 points back, and then it went to overtime, and then we were still tied, and then we lost in double overtime. But sometimes like things like that, you can work it out. Other times a moderator says, nope, this is it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's the way it is, and then you really can't do anything. They make the final decision.
Well, and that's what, so what you're explaining at the junior high level sounds like instant replay almost.
It kind of like that to a certain extent, yeah.
But I can't imagine you probably can't do that, though, at the IHSA State Tournament Series, can you, where you can say, I want to review this at the end of the match?
You can, actually.
Oh, you
can? That is within the rules. You can file the protest and stuff like that.
So then who makes the moderator then at the end makes the final
decision? Yeah, the final decision comes down to the moderator. Now, they can consult with their scorekeeper and timekeeper if they're knowledgeable about certain things and come to a group decision. And it's within the moderator's discretion, too. They can also talk to the coaches. Coaches, what do you think in this case? Because there's been many cases over the years. I mean, it happens at almost every meet where a question answer is kind of vague. It's close. Did they mean it as such? And there'll be cases where the other team says something and the moderator's kind of wavering, and I'll just kind of look over and I go, that's fine. And they'll be like, okay, we'll give you that. And, or my team knows this. I'll just blurt stuff out. My team gives an answer. The other team gives an answer, and the moderator's wavering. I'll just go, no, that's incorrect.
So in that example that you just gave, you didn't you didn't go John McEnroe.
No. There have
it's
been.
It's on the line. You see the line. No.
There's been maybe one or two cases where I actually got angry, and it was just more out of stubborn refusal on the moderator's part to listen to my sound reasoning, which was correct.
So that kind of cheesed me off a little bit. Have you seen anybody really go ballistic, like a coach or anything, in your?
No, not really. I mean, you can tell a person's fuming, but it doesn't do the team any good for the coach to get so out of control. It becomes a distraction for them, and they can't focus or something like that. I've had my moments where I start to lose my temper, and my face is pretty easy to read. The kids know that there's a glare that's associated with my moods.
Over the moderator?
Well, it can be moderator. It could be my own team. They get the look quite a bit, too. But, no, you just got to swallow it and just let it fester inside you and, you know, eat away to you for the rest of your life. But you can't, there's nothing else you can do about it.
All right. So just remember, people, too, as we take our first break, if they ever ask you a question about minimalist composers, always, always, always the default is Philip Glass. And somebody out there better get the back-to-back Lincoln Drill Conference champion Scholastic Bowlers, the T-shirts that say the New York Yankees of Scholastic Bowl, because I know I want one size extra large. We're talking with Kyle Koresko this morning on the WRMJ Sports Line.
Rebuilding a home can be expensive. Many homeowners don't realize that their insurance may not provide them with enough coverage to build the same home in the same location. Country Financial is just one of a few insurance companies that offer insurance that covers the replacement cost of your home, even if that amount is higher than the policy limit. Call your Country Financial agent today to find out more about homeowners insurance. Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois. Must qualify for additional replacement cost coverage. Minimum insurance to value required.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
If you're in the market for a tractor, sprayer, or combine, Martin Sullivan is your home for new and used John Deere equipment, commercial and residential lawn equipment like zero-turn mowers and riding mowers, lawn tractors, and more. Stop in today and talk with one of our experienced team members to figure out what equipment is right for your job. See us about one of our great inspections or smart services. Troubleshoot with our knowledgeable parts and services departments. We have the equipment, service, and people you know and appreciate at Martin Sullivan in Aledo.
Hey, what's taking you so long?
I'm tied up ordering supplies. This from there, that from here.
You know, office specialists have everything your office needs, and they're fast, friendly, and affordable.
Office specialists can really handle everything?
You name it. Toilet paper, floor mat, paper towels, vacuum cleaners, even stuff for the break room. And ordering is simple at osi.biz. They offer reliable weekly free delivery, and a sales consultant visits the office to answer questions and take orders. You just can't beat the personal service of a locally owned one-stop shop.
That's Office Specialists in Galesburg.
The outdoor track season will be here soon. Get the competitive edge before the season starts at 6140 Run. Get a custom lightweight fit in Saucony track spikes. Saucony offers amazing flexibility while cradling and protecting your foot for a firmer center footprint. 6140 Run has every distance of spike plus throwing and jumping shoes. Set the track ablaze in a range of distances with Saucony from 6140 Run. Saucony has been running strong since 1898. Get your competitive edge at 6140 Run at 218 East Main Street in Galesburg.
When you have an accident, it can be a terrible inconvenience. Russ Wingert, manager of Brands Collision Service, says you won't be stranded while they repair your vehicle.
We have our own loaner fleet and rental cars here that we take care of for customers, get them taken care of immediately when they come in, make sure they have wheels, and we'll take care of that even if they don't have rental coverage. And we also pick up and deliver cars free of charge, so we try to be a one-stop shop.
Brands Collision Service in Aledo, your total auto body repair center, now celebrating their 36th year in business, will never inconvenience you.
All right, Jim Taylor back on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. I know the final segment today, we'll hear from our good friend Brian Roush up at WCCI Radio in Savannah with our Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio segment. And Brian Roush was a scholastic bowler in high school, and his segment I recorded with him yesterday. He talks about his times coming to Aledo and participating in a scholastic bowl tournament in the mid to late 1980s. And he even drops, I think, an Aledo name I didn't recognize it before my time here. That was like a legend of answering scholastic bowl questions. So you need to hang around for that at the end of our segment. Kyle Koresko with us this morning, the Mercer County High School and junior high scholastic bowl coach. You said practices are in the morning, is that right?
No. Yeah, high school and junior high both practice twice a week. Both junior high practices are in the morning. We practice at 6:45 in the morning. And high school, because kids are involved in show choir and jazz band and after school activity and stuff like that, we do one morning a week at 6:30 and then one afternoon practice a week at quarter till 4.
And then, you know, general overview of, you see the, you know, I think it's been since the mid-1980s, the IHSA has recognized the state tournament series in Scholastic Bowl and the IHSA among their activities. So it's serious enough to get that type of recognition. And I think it's pretty cool that there's a state tournament series in regional format, and then we have conference affiliation with it and a conference tournament and a true conference championship. So how important is that for you, promoting the program, promoting the activity, and then for the kids to get the recognition, too, and the opportunity to be a state champion? Because I think it'd be pretty neat if Mercer County ever won a Scholastic Bowl state championship.
Oh, that would be incredible. You know, it's Scholastic Bowl is never going to be on the level of the other things. It's never going to compete with football, basketball, anything else. That's just simple fact of the matter. It's not, spectators really don't take an interest in it, and because of that, it doesn't get the recognition it gets. But to have the IHSA come in and say, we're going to hold Scholastic Bowl on the same level as all those other things, and we're going to give them a playoff, and we're going to give them state championships, that's an awesome thing. And especially for our kids. You know, we're a small school, and our Scholastic Bowl players take part in many things. Many of them are athletes, many of them are musicians and stuff like that. But for some kids, Scholastic Bowl is their only outlet, and it's a way to represent their school. And if they can do that and be successful, that's great. That's wonderful for those kids.
And I would assume then the when you look at each season, you know, in terms of really having success, you have to have a basically a good cross section of kids that have strengths in different areas. Mm-hmm. I call it balance. I mean, is that how it really works? Where you know, going into a season, man, I got the points here with these 10 or 15 different kids that I can spread out in these matches.
Oh, definitely. You'll have those kids that are experts in, well, experts in quotes, but they know their history. They know their science. They know their math and stuff like that. And, you know, every now and again you get the kid who does know all those things or works to know all those things. But oftentimes you get kids who have more of a specialty, and then it becomes the job of the coach to make sure they're in at the right time, which if the questions are coming randomly, I'll just say there's been many, many times in my life where I made a substitution, took a kid out, and the next question was their specialty, and they just kind of look over at me, and I just got to shrug my shoulders. Like, oh, I can't do anything about it, guys. There was a every time a few years back, I had a young lady on the junior high team who was a dancer. She loved dance, knew everything about dance, and it never failed. I never had her in the match when there was a dance question, every single time, and she would just stare at me. I was like, I don't know the order. I can't help you there, you know? So, but yeah, you get a lot of kids that they'll know a lot about a certain thing, and they may have a general knowledge and other things, but you know, that's where the team effort comes in. You really have to all work together to figure out the answers.
And then you can think about, like, when you try to describe kids that play Scholastic Bowl, you can sit there and say, nose to the grindstone, really studious, really study hard. But I've been around enough to say this is like a good time gang too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're smart, but they have a lot of fun.
Oh, they,
that's what I noticed about at least the Mercer County group I've been around over the years. It's like you when I first went down there, I'm like, man, these guys and gals are really serious and studying, and you're going to be really quiet in the room, and you know, no messing around. It really is kind of the complete opposite. It's basically typical any endeavor or activity. Mm-hmm. You know, kids are there. They want to compete, but they want to have a good time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we do. And
where you have to say, hey, you know, tone it down a little bit. And that's cool, man. That's the one. And then you're like, well, man, these kids are screwing around a little bit, so they must not be too smart. And then, lo and behold, you start answering questions, and they're answering them like, what in the world is going on?
We have our fun. There's no question. And I like to keep the practices a little bit looser. But those kids also know that come game time, match time, it's time to get serious. They knuckle down and they get the job done.
Yes, John, go ahead. You can pick up the microphone.
I'm a former Scholastic Bowl. I was in charge of answering the sports questions. But anyway, if there is a category for local, town, or people's pronunciations, I think Eli is ready to take over that category. He's getting better. He's getting better.
Hey, that's right. So we have, well, actually, I think WRMJ, we're proud to talk about the Scholastic Bowlers we've had over the year. John Schweppe, who worked here, was a Scholastic Bowler. Eli Kelly, a Scholastic Bowler. Who else we've had? Have we had anybody else?
Kyle McKeon
was a Scholastic Bowler?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, yeah.
As a matter of fact, we have a pronunciation guide right here on our bulletin board. Peterson, Wallen, Knox, Ryo, Ofeem, Penile Cemetery, and...
Well, I got that wrong for the first 5 years.
And Macoupin County, so we got those covered.
Maybe we'll go to a Scholastic Bowl tournament in Macoupin County. All right, so... So that's what I'm getting back to, you know, just the enjoyment that I guess better question is a lot. I'm not going to say everybody, but, you know, the youth of today a lot of times are criticized, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they are, you know, whatever label you want to throw at them. But I assume you can rebut that many times with the kids that you coach in Scholastic Bowl in what you see.
Oh, sure. You know, it's something, like I've said, it's something you've got to want to do. And you're not going to do something if you don't enjoy doing it. And like I said, our season's so long, we practice at odd hours and everything like that. And if you want to get better, you yourself got to do it. And these kids undertake that. I'm not going to say all do. Some kids, it's more, in the past, it was, I'm content with what I learn in school, and if I don't know it, then I don't know it. And that mindset has started to change. But yeah, there is much maligning of today's youth for various reasons. And I'll be honest, as a teacher, I feel some of it's even justified. But these kids, they want to be there, and they work hard. We have a good time. We want to have a good time because that makes them want to be involved even more. And then they become recruiters themselves. They'll like, hey, you should give this a shot. And then these other people come in, and they discover they like it. And then they want to stick with it, and that helps build the program. I remember when I first started taking over, and I was trying to get kids to be on the junior high team, I put flyers around the old junior high saying, you already think you're smarter than everybody else. Now's your chance to prove it. And some kids look at that and they get a little grin on their face and they're like, yeah, I do think I'm smarter than everybody else. Now I can actually prove it. And then they start having fun, and then they want to stay in it, and then they start recruiting others, and that's what's built the program. And then when that happens, the program becomes successful, and it sustains it, and it keeps going year after year after year.
Yeah, so the regional is Monday at Elmwood. Mercer County's a top seed, so they've had a good regular season. And mm-hmm. the seeding works a lot like other activities, where if you've had a good regular season, you get seeded by basically the teams, I would assume, seed you in the postseason,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, all the records go on to the IHSA website, and then us coaches go in and
seed them like any other
them.
Activity.
Yeah, number 1 through 8, and there we go. We're the 3 seed this year.
Okay, so that Monday is the regional, next Saturday is the sectional, and then the Saturday after that is
the Friday after that. They do the state on a Friday, I believe.
Okay, then the Friday after that. So you're down to 2 weeks, but you were telling me that Scholastic Bowl, if you really wanted to start when the first day of school started, you could do it, and then you go till that March 14th or 15th. That's
right.
A long
season. No, it is. I don't have the kids start practice the first 2 weeks of school because, again, they're getting used to the school year. They got to get their schedules figured out and all that stuff. So we always wait till right after Labor Day, and then we start right there at the beginning of September, and then we go to whenever we end the playoffs in the middle of March. So
long season. How many matches do you have all together? And a lot of them occur probably at tournaments, right?
Right, right.
So there's not really any dual meets where you say it's Mercer County taking on.
No. Usually you have a minimum of 3 teams for it. Tournaments are usually, we go to some tournaments that may only have 8 teams. We go to some tournaments that have 24 or more. Saturdays are kept for tournaments, and we usually have a few before Christmas break, but Scholastic Bowl really picks up in January and February. And then most Saturdays in January and February, we have tournaments. And in a tournament, you're usually going to play 7 to 8 games. In the Lincoln Trail, we have Thursday night triangulars all throughout January and February, and so 3 teams get together and play. And it's kind of a necessity almost to a certain extent because many of our Lincoln Trail counterparts don't do Saturday tournaments. For some reason, their schools won't pony up the dough to give them the entry fees or transportation and stuff like that. And I got to give full credit to my administration and the school board and everything like that. I have never once in all my years been turned down.
That's
for an entry
hear.
Fee. I sign up and they pay the fee and we go. And you cannot have a successful program like what we have here unless you have the support of the administration. There's no doubt about it.
So when you look at Scholastic Bowl in general, statewide, IHSA has state tournaments, you feel pretty good about where it's at? I mean, moving forward in terms of the commitment, you said some schools won't pony up, maybe to
right,
Saturday things,
right.
But you feel pretty good about where it's at?
I think so overall. I think it's getting better as the years go on. I think you're starting to see more involvement. I'm seeing teams that used to just struggle at all times, now they themselves are becoming successful. If I can use a local example, Rova, which for most of the time I've been coaching, I mean, they would have a decent team every now and again, but usually it was dependent on one player.
Mm-hmm.
They had a coach take over a couple years ago, and she's really built that program up. And as a matter of fact, they are at Masonic State today. They won their Masonic sectional 2 weeks ago, and they're competing at the Masonic State tournament today. So that's great. United also won their Masonic sectional 2 weeks ago, and they're competing at that same state tournament today, which is that can only help their programs in the long run. It gets those kids excited about it.
So Masonic before the IHSA kind of had a state tournament series, that's where most people would go then?
Honestly, I don't know how long the Masonic state tournament
now, is there. Are there rules like a little bit different than the IHSA?
Very much so. The Masonic does their own thing. It's a completely different format than we run into at other tournaments. It has its pros and its cons. There's some parts I like. There's some parts I don't. But they also do three classes, whereas IHSA only has two classes. Masonic, a couple years ago, went to three. And that we used to be in the small class, and that bumped us up to the middle one. And that makes the competition a little more fierce. We went to a loaded Masonic sectional at Macomb 2 weeks ago, where I thought we might be lucky to get fourth. We got fifth.
So you were in the middle class then?
We're in 2A, I guess you would call us, or AA for...
But even Masonic. Then, I would say, like, in the two-class system, what you're probably competing against schools top end, close to 1,000 probably, aren't you? 800? In the old
I mean,
classes.
Macomb was at ours, yeah. And they're 650 or something like that. So, you know, that's kind of neat. I like playing the bigger schools, too. When we go to other tournaments, sometimes they seed you by size, but a lot of times they just randomly place it. And when we went to Macomb back in the beginning of January this year, we were in a pool that had Springfield and Chatham-Glenwood and Moline and Quincy. And while Springfield...
We take down the Western Big Six every day. Exactly. It's Classic Bowl.
And while Springfield and Chatham-Glenwood did beat us, we did beat Moline and we did beat Quincy twice that day. So that's nice. We still have that stigma, we're the little cousin to a certain extent to these big schools, and when you take down one, you know, big brother once every now and again, makes the kids smile. Their coach too.
All right. Well, see, I told you our time would quickly run out, and it's run out. I really appreciate you coming in today, and I hope people appreciate what we got going on here with this Scholastic Bowl program, not just Mercer County, but the area schools, because I think it's great to recognize those kids too. And good luck Monday. Sounds like we're pretty good shape, but as you say, you never know.
No, we know. You never know. You never know.
But thanks, and keep up the great work, and you do a great job with the Scholastic Bowl program.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, Kyle Koresko with us. We're not done talking Scholastic Bowl. Brian Roosh is coming up with our Jim and Brian Talking High School Sports on the radio. He was a Scholastic Bowler, and he can even talk about some of the old tournaments back in Aledo in the mid-1980s.
When you think about planning for tomorrow, it may seem overwhelming. At Country Financial, they have a suggestion. Don't get overwhelmed, get started. Because when it comes to solving the big challenges of tomorrow, you can start with simple steps today with personalized insurance and financial services that can have a big impact on your family's future. Contact your Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Watt.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
If you're in the market